Amen. Thank you, Father, through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua, for those words. Tonight we're going to do the book of Luke on onward to Jerusalem. And many times people don't quite realize, we've got some maps and everything else on, you know, the circumstances of reading the book of Luke and other gospels, but Luke especially. The nation of Israel today is 8,600 square miles. Well, the state of Kansas that we live in is 82,000 square miles. So in essence, we could have 10 Israels in our state. So that's how small it is. So from Dan to Beersheba, and that was usually the parameters of Israel, is 150 miles.
Is that east and west, or is that north?
North and south, so that's a long way. I think east and west, the length today is 263 miles, that goes right down to the Red Sea, which obviously back then it wasn't. And the widest place is 71 miles. So 71 miles, you know, a two-day walk. I mean, maybe 3 days, 71 miles, but a person could bicycle that in one day, 71 miles. So it's a very small country in relationship to what we're used to today. And so beginning with this session, we're going to learn that there were three feast days required in Yahweh for all males to attend. And that's, we've done a teaching on Yahushua's life, that it's his life, his ministry was 6 months or less. And we're going to base that, and you can see this in the book of Luke, very easily seen that, which just shocks people. And everybody should know it if we just read the book and just observe the time frames. It's a real simple situation. It's only the Gospel of John that it confuses us, and that's a whole other teaching. But that's the, every male was supposed to be in Jerusalem on three feast days every year, annually. And that was Deuteronomy 16 to 17. Well, why don't you read that, Aaron? Refresh everybody's mind. Yeah, 16, and the preface.
Three annual feasts.
Three annual festivals. Okay, yeah, just read that little paragraph.
Verse 16. Three times in the year shall each one of thy males see the face of Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose. At the festival of unleavened cakes, and at the festival of weeks, and the festival of booths. And none shall see the face of Yahweh empty-handed. Every man according as his hand can give, according to the blessing of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he hath bestowed upon thee.
Isn't that great? Every man, male shall see the face of Yahweh. Isn't that a great situation? Mm-hmm. Great idiom. So, in that particular case, according to the church traditions now, that Yahushua's ministry was 3+ years, that would mean he would be in Jerusalem how many times? Nine times, three each year. And as we're going to see, he's only in there once. And so if we know when he got there, and that was what we're going to find out about 5 or 6 days before Passover, which is Nisan the 14th. Okay, so that, we know he got there 6 to 5 days before that. Okay, so when's the last time he was supposed to be in Jerusalem? Well, that's on Tishri the 15th, which is the Festival of Booths, which was 6 months before that. And so another teaching, we're going to see that too. To the best of our knowledge, Yahushua was born on Tishri 1, which is the new year. That's Genesis 1:3, and Elohim said, let there be light. So that's, and that's it, the new year today. And Tishri 1 is going to be October 2nd of this year, 2024. It's a new moon. So to the best of our knowledge, 3 BC, he was born on Tishri 1 between 6 and 8 p.m. Palestine time. And it was based on Revelation 12, the Virgo constellation and the moon beneath her feet. So this is based astronomically. And then we know that, you know, obviously the planets, the conformations, configurations with the Magi and everything else. So astronomically, we can go ahead and look back at time and reverse everything to see what these stars are. So we're going to begin with, since he was not in Jerusalem, our dates begin with him being baptized or immersed when? With John the Immerser. And so if we look at our map, I gave you guys, let me share one. And I'll put this on our on the video. So we know Feast of Booths, which is Kisri 15th, is in Jerusalem for 7 days. You know, so 7 days of festivals. You know, so Tishri is a very holy month. Tishri is the first month of the year. Now it became the seventh month after Nisan when they left Egypt. But originally it's the first day. It was the day of shouting because it's New Year's Day. The earth began, Genesis 1-3. Tishri 10 is propitiation, a day of atonement. That's another special day. And then Tishri 15th is the Festival of Booths, which lasts for 7 days. So Tishri is the month. And we've got to pray for Israel because that's coming up. They're at war right now with Islam. And now this is September 13th. So in, 18 days, it's going to be Tishri.
1 year since the start of the war.
Yeah. You know, they were October 7th. And so, yeah, this is going to be Tishri 1 is October. Yeah, that's right. But Tishri the 2nd is going to be this year, so we can really supplicate for them. But as you can see, where John the Immerser was immersing is in the River Jordan. And here's our map. And so if you look at this little chart, too, I gave you guys, how far is the River Jordan from Jerusalem?
21 miles.
21 miles. So, we're going to go with the largest assumption that his ministry was 6 months. And so, Tishri ends on, the festival ends on the 23rd of Tishri. And then he goes, gets immersed. He walks over to the Jordan, which is 21 miles east from Jerusalem, where probably John was immersing. And we don't know where John immersed in the Jordan. We know it's a Jordan. The Jordan's all the way from the Sea of Galilee all the way down. And so we know it's got to be in a very pretty level place. You're not going to be blown away in high rapids, you know. But obviously I would assume that's a good place to be because all the people are in this area, especially at this particular time. So we know he got immersed, and so we're going to start following that now. Let's go with Luke 3:23. Here's another question. How old was Yahushua when he started his ministry? And what the church is going to say, and majority of everybody, what are they going to say?
30.
Age 30. No, he wasn't. I will guarantee you he was not 30 years old. Well, how can you say that? Well, it's right here. It's only in Luke 3:23. Little tidbit. And Yahushua himself was when he began about what?
30
years of age, being a son as of supposed. So, how old was Yahushua? Absolutely, he was not 30.
Yeah.
And he was not over 30. So, how old he was? About 30.
Almost.
No, you just say, about 30. You can't go wrong. How old was Yahushua? About 30. What's about 30? About 30. All right, that's all. Now we go to, let's see here, 4:1. And he's going to get immersed. I'll be covering a lot of things here. But the big point of this teaching is we're going to find out from Luke about 9 to 19 is the area, 10 chapters, where he's on his way to Jerusalem, which is really Jerusalem. Put a Y instead of a J. Jerusalem. There's 10 chapters on him going, and if we know the length, the greatest length from Dan to Beersheba is 150 miles. So from Capernaum, let me see here. Yeah, from Capernaum, which was his hometown, is 85 miles. Now, how, you know, you walk 20 miles a day. So just say to go into Jerusalem, you know, it'd be a 4-day walk. So think of that. Now, we're talking about, the people say 3.5 years is ministry. It's just impossible. It can never be 3.5 years. It's going to be 6 months or less. So he goes to, gets immersed, as we can see here, 4, verse 1. And Yahushua, full of Holy Ruach, returned from the Jordan. Okay, right. That's, he begins at the Jordan. And was led in the Ruach in the desert 40 days. Okay, so he goes into the wilderness. We don't know where that is. One interesting thing, too, is this is about Jerusalem. But one of the temptations is about Jerusalem. And if you look at 4:9, and the adversary led him into Jerusalem and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, of Herod's temple, and said, if thou art Yahweh's son, cast thyself from hence down, for it is written. And he doesn't do that. But interesting, and this is a vision. Because we also, how you can say, well, it says right here, and he led him into Jerusalem. Well, we know he's in the wilderness, right? For 40 days, not in Jerusalem. And how we can say it's not literal, because, let me see here. In 5, and leading him up, he showed him all the kingdoms that had inhabited earth in a moment of time. So obviously that's a vision. So these are visions of pictures. In the wilderness. He's not in Jerusalem, but it says he's in Jerusalem, so that's a figure. So, what does he do after the temptations? He goes into chapter 4, verse 14.
4:14?
Yeah. And Yahushua returned in the power. You know, it's funny how he entered with full of Holy Ruach, and now he's returning in the power of Ruach into where?
Galilee.
Okay, not Judea, which is the province, it's Galilee. He's going north. So I'm going to your map. He's not going to Jerusalem. He's going north to Galilee. So we're going to follow his situation. So we know six months is from Tishri, you know, Festival of Booths, to Passover, which is 180 days. We know he's in the wilderness how many days?
40.
40. So 180 minus 40. 140 days. Okay, you're going to have to rest every Sabbath, right, for one day. In 140 days, how many Sabbaths are there?
Depends.
Divided by 7. 7 into 140. Yeah. It's 20.
Wow.
So it's 20 Sabbath. He couldn't walk. I mean, you're not going to be going off and doing stuff. And so that restrains you. So now we go from 180 to 140 minus 20 Sabbath days where you're resting. So now you got 120 days, which is 4 months. 100 days to travel. Which is a long time when you're looking at 4 months of crusade in an area that's probably 85 miles is not a big deal. You know, you can do a lot in 4 months, and which you're going to see, you did. Now, so we know in 4:14, he's in Galilee, and now he goes in 4:16, and he came into Nazareth. As we can see up here, so obviously, he went into Galilee, and if you see here, Nazareth is, everybody see here, Nazareth, it is G11, Nazareth.
No, on here.
Yeah, it is. Just look at, it's right over here. It's very important to get a grip of this, the contour, the topographic of Nazareth. So while we're looking at this, look at Nazareth, which is where he was born. I mean, he was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. But look at Capernaum. And so it's by the Sea of Galilee. Okay. And so that's where his hometown was, Capernaum, on the water. It's on the water today. And that is from Nazareth to Capernaum is 85 miles. So, you know, that's about a 4-day walk also. And so he goes to Capernaum. This is chapter 4, verse 31. And he came down into Capernaum, a city of Galilee. Okay, so Galilee, Nazareth, Capernaum. So we're going to map his journey.
It's where it says came down.
Yeah.
Go up?
Well, it came down to Capernaum. What's on the water?
Lower elevation.
Yeah, so you have to see that Nazareth, we were there about a year ago, or about two years ago, and it's very mountainous area. So you have no idea. If you look at the topographic, you find out if you want a level walking feel, you go from the Sea of Galilee all the way down to Jordan.
Okay.
Because it's a valley all the way through. So you're not going over hills and mountains and everything else. Water's going downhill, so you follow the Jordan. It's in a plain where everything else goes up into like a mountains, 7,000 feet, things like that. You know, so you're like, so walking across the top is, it's like easier to go walking along the Jordan. So we see at Capernaum in 4:31 and 5:1, chapter 5, verse 1. And you have to get this in your own foundation. You have to do this and just go page by page and see what cities he goes to. You got a map and you can just follow it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see that, wait a minute, his ministry was not 3.5 years, regardless of what people say. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree on that same situation. He's only in Jerusalem once. We had to be in there 9 times. And so the Gospel of John is something different, which we've had it before. But 5:1, and he came to a pass while the multitude were pressing upon him, as hearing the word of Elohim, that he was staying near the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, another name for the Sea of Galilee. So Capernaum's right there on the water. Obviously, Peter and them live around the water. They're fishermen. And that is, he's at the Sea of Galilee in chapter 5, verse 1. And we're going to 5:12. And it came to pass while he was in one of the cities. Okay, so you're going to look at the words Jerusalem. You can do searches on Luke, Jerusalem. You can see Capernaum, Nazareth, and then the words village and cities, or city. And it's always a village here, a city here, and but you're going, you're traveling. And that's where it says that, a village. Or one of the cities, 5:12. Now we go to 6:12. And so we're going through the area, teaching. And 6:12 is where he calls his apostles. And it came to pass in these days that he went forth into the mountain to pray and was spending the night in a prayer house of Elohim. Isn't that great? Prayer house. And when it became day, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom also he named apostles. And what does apostle mean?
Sent one.
They were sent. Okay, it doesn't tell us location in a mountain. But now he goes back to Capernaum in 7:1. And after he had completed all his sayings within the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Okay, so we're back around the Sea of Galilee. We're going from Nazareth to Capernaum, to Capernaum to Nazareth. We're going back and forth. Following that, and this is the, and in 7:11, this is the only place where the boy in Naim was healed.
It's
kind of, it's spelled today, it's like N-E-I-N. If you look it up, it said A-N-A-I-N. But here's 11. And it came to pass thereafter that he journeyed to a city called Nain. And there was journey with him and his disciples and a great multitude. And this is where the boy who was dead on a funeral march, and he raised him from the dead. Now, that's only recorded in the book of Luke. But we know, okay, there he is, and we see the distance is from Capernaum to Nain is 2 days or 3 miles. I guess that's on, yeah, it's on the map too, 6:12, or G-12, I'm sorry, a name. It says, Jesus brings widow's son back to life. Okay, so he's gone south a little bit. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, it came to pass in the due course that he was passing through city by city and village by village. Isn't that great? And little communities, hamlets, villages, proclaiming and delivering the glad message of the kingdom of Yahweh. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been cured from evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, the one called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone forth, and Joanna, wife of Chuza, steward of Herod. And that was kind of neat. They got her in the Chosen.
Okay, that's Joanna. Yeah. Okay.
And what is she doing? And Susanna and many of those who indeed were ministering unto them out of their possessions.
Wow.
Okay, so that's how they incorporated her into that situation.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's
yeah. Cool. And now we go to 8:11. Now the parable is this. Let me see here. Now we went 8. Let's see here. Not 8:11. See. Oh yeah, 8:22. And it came to pass as one of the days that he entered into a boat, and his disciples had said to him, "Pass over to the other side of the lake." Okay, that's the lake of the Sea of Galilee. We know that. And he goes to 8:26. And when they sailed down out of the country of the Gerasenes, which is over against Galilee, and that was the demonized individual. And you can see on the map, it's on the other side of the lake. Right over here. Man with demons. And they do Gadara. Gadara. Okay. But you're still back at the lake. You know, you went from Nain back to the Sea of Galilee again. Huh. And so you're hanging around this particular area. Now you return in 8:40. He returns to Capernaum. And when Yahushua returned, the multitude welcomed him back, for they were all expecting him. And this is where Jairus' son died.
Okay.
Or daughter died.
Okay. Jairus.
J.R.'s, yeah. I'm flying down. I forgot who was male or female. 12-year-old. Yeah, daughter. The 12-year-old. I don't know if it's necessarily Capernaum, but he's on the other side. Comes back across the sea. And I would think it would be probably Capernaum. That's his home base. Now, 9, verse 1. And calling together the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons to be curing diseases and sent them forth. That's where we get the word apostle. It's going to be the same way. He sent them forth. To be, you know, if somebody says, "I'm an apostle," then you're going to be somebody who's going to be on the move. That's what apostles are. It's called sent.
Like the Apostle Paul.
Yeah. There's a difference between, you know, they're moving. Peter, everybody else, you're moving. The authority over all the demons and to be curing diseases and sent them forth to be proclaiming the kingdom of Elohim and to be healing and sending them. You know, so he sent these guys forth to the cities and villages again. And so in this particular time frame, and now on 10. Chapter 9, verse 2. Let's go to 6. 9, verse 6. He sent them, and they went forth and were passing through along the villages, delivering the glad message and effectively curing in every direction. Okay. And, verse 10 and 11. And the apostles returning related to him with great things they had done. So here's this going on. Think of, you know, a month. You know, or 3 weeks, and you come back, and so you're looking at time. Remember, his ministry is really going to be 4 months. Yeah, in motion. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, Sabbath for 20 days, so you've got, you know, 120 days left, which is four months.
Okay.
Which is quite a bit of time. You know, they go out.
Not for what
you get. Yeah, we haven't sent out the... Well, there's a lot of these little cities. You know, 2 miles here, 3 miles here, 5 miles here. You just walk over there and you stay with the people. You preach a day or two and you go to the next city. And he's coming through. And we haven't gone into the 70. You know, here's the 12 went out first. And he's going to then send out the 70. Which, if you remember that. See here. He goes into the Mount Transfiguration, which is 9:28, And they're not sure where that is, but he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. What mount that was. At, let's see here, 10, 11. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Let's go back to 9:10. And the apostles returning related to him what great things they had done, and taking them aside, he retired privately into a city called Bethsaida. And you're going to see Bethsaida is north of the Sea of Galilee, northwest just a little bit. Not too far from Capernaum or Chorazin, so all three little cities. But he says that's where he is. That's where. So you see all this around the Sea of Galilee. Now we go to the Mount Transfiguration, and what's interesting, Jerusalem. What did, this is a vision, what did Moses and Elijah say to him? Look at verse 30. And lo, two men were conversing with him, who indeed were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, were speaking as to his what?
Departure,
which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? And preparing him for Jerusalem. So you got to understand, Jerusalem, you know, is the death knell of Yahweh's prophets. It should be the place where everybody is exalted. The prophets, because it's supposed to be the seed of David, you know, where this is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Here's where the Temple of Solomon is. And it's supposed to be, instead, like many of the things are today, many of the, some of the churches are really the house of demons.
Polluted.
Yeah, but they've got all, you wouldn't know it, because they got all the artifacts up there. But if you don't know the scriptures, you're going to be deceived. As Apostle Paul didn't know the scriptures, and he was all part of this Jerusalem mob, who was a den of vipers. And he was trying to do what was right to Yahweh. So many people are serving what they think. You know, I look at the Catholic Church. We were in Italy, Italia. It's not Italy, it's Italia. And Mary and the baby Jesus is everywhere. So Santa Maria is everywhere. So instead of the glorification of Yahweh, and Yahushua is the glorification of Maria, Santa Maria. And if you look, you just Google Santa Maria, there's a church in every city.
Yeah.
Santa Maria this, Santa
More
Maria this, Santa Maria this,
city.
Santa Maria this. Yeah. And they all have a picture of the, you know, the virgin, they said. She wasn't a virgin. She was a virgin when she had Yahushua, but she was not a virgin after. But you see this diabolical situation where these holy places are pagan temples. Because what you've got exalted is Mary. And the Catholic Church, when you do the rosary, you say, you know anything about Catholic?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 Hail Marys and 1 Our Father. So you pray 10 times to Mary as your mediator. Yahushua is not your mediator. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. For now to the hour of our death, amen. I was raised a Catholic. So you're asking her to be a mediator, and guess what? Where is Mary?
Asleep.
Dead. She hasn't had a thing. So all these Hail Marys, and it's 10 Hail Marys, and then you say Our Father, and then back to 10 Hail Marys, Our Father, 10 Hail Marys. What the heck is this? And this is normal, because people don't read this book.
Yeah.
My parents never read it in their lifetime. Said the Hail Mary, you know, you're saying, and her name is not Mary, it's Miriam. It's not Maria, it's Miriam. It's, Miriam is Hebrew, Maria is Greek, or
Maria.
Maria is Greek, and then Mary is English. So that, they even got that wrong, got her name wrong. And Yahushua is the name of her Savior. Yahweh, just ask any, if you think you got a good pastor who knows anything, just say, what's the name of our God? And he's got to say Yahweh. If he doesn't say Yahweh, Yahweh's used 6,831 times. What's this book about? Yahweh. And what did he name his son? Well, he could have named him. No, he named him one name, and it's Yahushua. Four syllables. Yahushua. Yah is salvation. And if he doesn't say Yahushua, and they get out of, well, God goes by many names, Jesus goes by many names, it's not Jesus, it's not Yeezus, it's not Jesus, it's Yahushua. So the adversary has wiped out Yahweh out of his son's name. So Yahushua is the same as Joseph, or not Joseph, Joshua, you know, which, and Moses named him Yahushua. He used to be Hosea, which means salvation. He put Yah is salvation. Yah is salvation. So Jesus doesn't have Yah in it. It's removed.
Yes.
Doesn't have it from Jesus either. No, it's removed. Doesn't have it from Jesus. It's removed. So the Greek language removed Yahweh completely from every name in Yahweh's name. Matter of fact.
Change Elijah into sun god, Helios.
Yeah, we're gonna get off the subject. But these are just basic, baby things that we should have known. I was never raised that way. But if you look at the scripture, it's just everywhere. But you got to have a Rotherham Bible. You got to have an accurate Bible. Okay, 951. This starts our journey of his course. So his course is to teach as many people as he can and then to die.
Golly.
You know, I mean, this is, his journey is to die.
Wow.
And it's going to be a horrific death, as we saw in Isaiah 52 and 53. You're going to be tortured and mutilated more than anybody could ever imagine. And this begins this in 9:1 or 9:51. Sorry, and the preface says the face of Yahushua set towards Jerusalem, and it came to pass when the days for taking him up were on the point of being fulfilled, even him himself set his face to be journeying unto Jerusalem. And this goes on and on and on through Jerusalem. No, we're not going to go these at this particular time, but I'm going to give you the scriptures. And then unto Jerusalem is 9 verse 31, 9:51, 13 verse 22, 13 verse 34, 17 verse 11, 18 verse 31, 19 verse 11, and 19 verse 28. So it's Jerusalem, it's Jerusalem, it's on to Jerusalem. And it's repeated over and over again. So we have, it's 125 miles from Capernaum to Jerusalem, and you're on that chart, and so we're having 10 chapters from chapter 9, and he gets to Jerusalem in chapter 19. So now we're going to cover, 10 chapters of him going to Jerusalem. Let's see here, 9:53. I guess we already saw that. No, remember, they're going to Samaria. And let's just read 51 again. And it came to pass when the days for taking him up were on the point of being fulfilled, even himself set his face to be journeying unto Jerusalem. And he sent messengers unto his, before his face, and taking their journey, they entered into a village of Samaritans so as to prepare for him. And they welcomed him not, because his face was for journeying unto Jerusalem. That's it. And that's what they said. Lord, should we call fire out of heaven? And they said, no. But his face is going to Jerusalem. 10:1. The mission of the 70. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them forth two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to come. So he's got a lot of places. So 70, you've got two by two, you've got, what is that? 35. Yeah, 35 groups who are spreading out. And, so we got 125 miles from Capernaum to Jerusalem for villages and cities. And they return in 10:17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit themselves unto us in thy name. So that could be 2 or 3 weeks of him going out. And then he's just hitting, you know, think of all these little towns. It's not the big towns. Yeah. So think of where he went. Village and village, and healed this person and that person and this little city, all the little podunk places. you know, you want to be. But obviously, once his reputation of his deliverance, everybody's following him. You know, I would have. You know what I mean? So you got a mass following coming in. Let's see here. Yeah, we've got the seven. And, okay, so now we're going to go to chapter 13. So we just jump from that time to 13:22. But here's, you know, 11 and 12, just different teachings and different sermons and things to that effect. 13:22. Let me see here. And he was journeying on city by city and village by village and making progress unto what?
Jerusalem.
See, this is why this can, you know, if you look at this whole theme, it is a one-time operation going to Jerusalem. So in John chapter 1, they have him beginning in Jerusalem thrown on the tables. Yeah. Well, that didn't happen. You know, it completely contradicts everything that we got right here. It completely, and if it was literal, completely contradicts Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which all agree. He went to Jerusalem once. But that's, you know, we've done the teaching on John. It's a figure. Let's see here. We did 22, and now we're going to go to 31, the same chapter. 31-35. You want to read that, somebody?
In that very hour came near certain Pharisees saying to him, "Go forth and be journeying hence, because Herod desired to slay thee." And he said unto them, "Go and tell this fox, lo, I'm casting out demons and cures, and I'm fishing today and tomorrow, and on the third day I am ready to be made perfect. Nevertheless, I must needs today and tomorrow and the following to be journeying on, because it is impossible that a prophet perish outside of Jerusalem."
Keep going.
"Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, she that slayeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto her. How often have I desired to gather thee as children, like as a hen unto her own brood, under her wings, and ye did not desire."
We'll stop there, but there it is. You know, is it a welcoming place? No. You know, he knows that he's going to die there. The holy place. Let's see, so then we go to chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16, all teachings, things like that. Now we go to 17:11, chapter 17, verse 11. The 10 lepers cleansed, and it came to pass during the journey unto Jerusalem, that he was going through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and you can see Samaria, because obviously we're not in Judea, Samaria and Galilee. And they had met him 10 lepers. Let's see here. We'll just stop there. Go to 18, verse 31. "And taking aside the 12, he said unto them, Lo, we are going up unto Jerusalem, and all the things will be finished which have been written through means of the prophets respecting the Son of Man. For he will be delivered up unto the nations, and be mocked and insulted and spit upon him, and having scourged him, they will slay him, and on the third day he will rise." And, you know, it reminded me of England. You know, you started thinking of the Protestants too. You know, you had Catholics killing Protestants, and then Protestants killing William Tyndale. And why did they kill William Tyndale? He put the Bible into English. So Christians killed him for putting the Bible into Protestants. That was English, Thomas More. And they murdered him, put him to death for doing that. Here is John Calvin in the 1500s. Michael Cervantes wrote a book against the Trinity, and he found him and had him burned at the stake. So we're talking about, where our enemy is John Calvin. You know, it's the Pope. It is these church officials that were killing. I mean, that's no manifestation of this. When Yahushua, you know, the disciples said, people are casting out demons by your name and we forbid them. And he said, don't. If they're not against me, they're for me. You know, and, but that's not according to the Catholics or the Protestants that were burning people at the stake and all sorts of stuff. You're looking at that. And today, obviously, the same kind of adversity that comes against people speaking the truth. Like us. If you go against this, you're a heretic. You're a heretic. That's all they're going to say about it. Yeah, we saw that. 18, let's see here, 31 or 34. We read that. Oh, 34, and they will not, and they not one of these things understood, and this saying was hidden from them, and they could not comprehend the things spoken. So he says, I'm going to be murdered in Jerusalem. They don't get it. 1911.
Maybe they thought it was a parable.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and like I said, you had the wrong idea of the Messiah. The Messiah to them was not supposed to die. You know, you didn't know Isaiah. The Messiah is supposed to restore the nation of Israel and the world and take it from the Romans, probably. And so you're looking at a King David instead of a lamb. You're looking for
Isaac,
a lion.
It's Isaac. It's going to be Isaac or King David. So Isaac laid his life down.
Yeah, but it's a lamb. You're not looking for a lamb. You're looking for a lion. Yeah. And so maybe that's why it went. But we have that today. You know, just the woman caught in adultery is so ingrained in our culture that even doubting, not doubting, just showing it's not part of it doesn't change anybody.
Yeah.
They're going to have it, and they're going to teach on it regardless. And that's on it. Why? But they do. Yeah, it is. Truth is just not a factor. 1911. And because they were hearing these things, he added and spake a parable because of his being near Jerusalem. And they're supposing that instantly was the kingdom of God to shine forth. But here's being near to Jerusalem, verse 28. And having said these things, he was moving on in front, going up unto Jerusalem. 29. And it came to pass as he drew near unto Bethsaida and Bethany, as you can see here. Bethany is 1 mile and 5/8, you know, almost 2 miles just from Jerusalem. So he's that close. You have to see Bethany. And that's where the Mount of Olives is also. But here's 29. It came to pass as he drew near unto Bethany and Bethsaida, unto the mount which is called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of the disciples, saying, go your way into the opposite village. And we know about that. Let's see here. And you can read all the way down to 42. And let's say 41. And when he drew near, beholding the city, he wept over it, saying, if thou hast got to know in this day, even now, the condition of peace, but now are that they hidden from thine eyes, because days will come upon thee. And he talks about how it's going to be destroyed. So that goes into 42. And that's where he ends up entering into Jerusalem. And then we know in John 12, 1 through 12.
Going to John now?
Yeah.
Are we coming back?
No. So he entered into Jerusalem. And so if you look at the discourse from his baptism and just follow it, there are no multiple Jerusalem visits at all. There's just one. And why? Because it's a death spot. That's why you don't go there.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to die. It would be like a Christian going to Tehran.
You know, it'd be like Benjamin Netanyahu going to Tehran.
Yeah, to Tehran. You're dead meat because you are taking the glory away from us, and you're actually saying we're vipers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the high priest had him kill him. Yeah. And so, yeah,
they kill him. They call us a viper.
But 12:1, you know, this is Yahushua, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came into Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from among the dead. And you see in 12, and on the morrow, the great multitude that had come unto the feast, hearing that Yahushua was coming into Jerusalem, and they took out the branch. And so, if it's 6 days before the Passover, we know he wasn't in there. So now, once he comes in, it's 5 days before the Passover. So he's in Jerusalem teaching, because remember, he is the Passover lamb. He didn't die on Good Friday. He died on Nicene the 14th, which was a full moon. So Nicene the 15th is really the feast of not the feast of Pentecost, but the of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread. So you have three feasts. Feast of unleavened bread starts with Passover, feast of weeks, which is Pentecost, 50 days after, and then the feast of booths. And so we'll be in there.
Cool. Almost feels like
I'm going. Yeah.
But, stop. Don't go there.
Yeah, but he had to go there. And so simply, you look at this, everybody should scratch their head and say, hey, this other teaching, if you go through Mark and go through Matthew, it's going to be the same thing. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he goes to Jerusalem once. So, yes, and he hasn't been in Jerusalem before, so that's a 6-month period in between where he had to be there. And there's no record of him being there, so his ministry started at the Jordan. And he didn't go to a festival day. You know, he went to the wilderness and so on and on. And it all had to be was that, because his mission was done. He went through 125 miles in 4 months and taught, and now I'm going. And it's your guys' job, the 12 apostles.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going to take over from there on. And you can imagine, it's just the masses. You know, when somebody is offering healing, and in Acts, Acts
5,000 people were following him.
Yeah. I mean, and that's 5,000 men. So you got 15,000 people that you're feeding, you know, out in the countryside. So you can't manage these things. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't go anywhere because if that's the only place I can get healed, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And so you got just tourniquets and, you got a train of blind people, everybody coming to him. It would be a mob. And that's where Peter said when the woman touched his hem of the garment, he said, who touched me? Are you kidding me? You know, you got 5,000 hands all over your body. Who's touching me? Are you kidding me? But so that puts it in perspective. Read the book. So we'll hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Rejoice in my words of life. Life will instill in you as you meditate upon my words and not the doctrines of men. So immerse yourself in my word regardless of a bad opinion against you by bringing out the truth. But truth will set you free, while darkness only keeps you in blindness. Amen. See you next week.